Entrepreneur Weekly interviews the brilliant leaders of today in order to provide a stepping stone of wisdom on the journey to personal business ownership. Now, here's your host, Alan Taylor.
Welcome to another edition of Entrepreneur Weekly. How you doing out there, people? How you hanging in there? Things are a little different, aren't they? Yes, they are. Boy, aren't they? Well, our guest today is going to help us get a little bit better hand on things as life must go on, business must go on. His name is David Komlos. He's author of Cracking Complexity, and his company is Syntegrity, Syntegrity Group.com on the web. And I know you're in Toronto. David, welcome to the show. How are things over there for you?
Pretty much, I'm sure, like the rest of the world, Alan, Lockdown.
Exactly. So I have a wife, four adult grown kids, two or three of them married and gone away. I say that because one's not quite married, but two of them have children. So I'm a grandfather, and everybody's handling this whole situation differently. It's so interesting to watch. You're learning about, you know, your family in a different way because certain people have certain fears. Other people, like myself, I have a very strong immune system. And so I feel like I'm invincible and I'm probably the guy that's going to get it. But the problem is I don't want to take it to my 92-year-old dad and my 89-year-old mom and wipe out the whole old folks home, if you know what I'm saying, because older people are more susceptible. So everybody's handling it different, but we still have to continue to try to run our businesses. So I have a lot of employees that are at home, working from home, and I'm okay with that. And it's actually turning out to be quite nice on one hand. The other hand, I miss them. You know what I'm saying?
Totally.
So let me just talk about a little bit with you. You know, we talked earlier before we got on the show about trying to get a steady hand on things. What advice do you have for our audience? And then I'll talk about some of the things I'm doing and see how we agree.
Well, Alan, so first of all, to all your listeners, stay safe, stay home, stay true to what has to be done right now. And we have to view this pandemic as a big problem and an even bigger opportunity. First and foremost, we have to take care of ourselves, our families, our friends, our neighbors, our communities, our societies. We have to do the best we can for our stakeholders. And we have to get through this. And it took a while, but governments have really hit the ground running at this point. People are physically distancing. Testing is ramping up and so on. Now, as leaders, as entrepreneurs, it's our responsibility to not just take care of table stakes during this pandemic and view it as a problem. We have to start planning for the future. We have to start viewing, you know, what our responsibility is right now to our customers, our employees, and other stakeholders, but also what opportunities are there that we can seize. That is the lifeblood of entrepreneurship, and it's a healthy interest to pursue. Yeah. We've got to be looking at what are the opportunities that are going to come out of this for our businesses, for our employees, and for our customers.
I will say I'm doing a whole lot more Zoom meetings than I have ever done in my life. I'm getting pretty good at it. I'm starting to look at it like there's an art and a science to everything in life. And having a Zoom meeting when people are watching you and looking right at your face, unlike when you're in a meeting and you're in a room full of people, everybody's kind of looking down, looking around. When you're on a Zoom meeting, everybody's looking right at you, whoever's talking. So it's a little different. Hang on. That means there's a commercial break. Don't go anywhere. We're talking with David Komlos. He is author of Cracking Complexity. How is our life going to change after the corona pandemic and this crisis is over? What are you doing differently to keep up with it and to be prepared for, I think, the onslaught of business we're all going to have? This is Entrepreneur Weekly. We'll be right back with more.
Hook me up a new revolution. This one is a lie. Sat around laughing and watching the last.
Can't get enough of Entrepreneur Weekly? Check out our podcast on iTunes for even more content. Subscribe today.
Well, you're listening to Entrepreneur Weekly. Thanks for joining us. Don't forget, check out our magazine on newsstands everywhere, Entrepreneur Magazine, and around the world we go with the internet. Lots of audio and video and folks like my guest right now, David Komlos, author of Cracking Complexity. Syntegrity is his company, syntegritygroup.com, on the web. We're talking about how we can hit the ground running and be prepared for it when the crisis is over. Welcome back, David. Thanks for joining us. How are you going to be prepared and how can others be prepared? Because I think it's kind of right around the corner, personally.
Absolutely. And there's a key insight here, Alan. So to quash the virus, we are limiting the number of interactions that we're having with each other. To hit the ground running coming out of the virus, we're going to have to double down on interactions, whether they're over Zoom or other video conferencing platforms or over the phone. We're going to have to double down on the number and frequency and variety of interactions we have with each other. So to hit the ground running, it's really important as a first step to bring more people into the conversation of what your priorities are as an organization. Actually set up a conversation with a diversity of talent in your organization to collectively set the agenda of priorities. What do we have to do for operations? What about for our customer experience? What about finance? How do we get our hands on some money to survive this? What could we do with our value proposition? How could we tweak or change or introduce new products into our development cycle? These are some of the considerations you should be thinking about today. And it's best done if you, the leader, invite more voices to the table to set those priorities.
Mm, brilliant. No, I think it's great. And I think that we all have to realize that this world is going to be a little different afterwards. And it's going to take a different you, people. It really is. We're going to, and like David says, we're going to have to up our game and be ready. So now, while we're in the middle of this, we really, really, really need to double down on getting ourselves healthier and getting our mind clear and perhaps learning a meditation exercise that will help you do that, believe it or not. I have interviewed thousands of entrepreneurs now after being a radio host for almost 30 years. And there is one theme, David, I don't know about you, but there's one theme that seems to run very clear in the hearts and minds of many of these real successful people is they start their day or in their day or even multiple times throughout the day with some sort of a meditation exercise to clear the mind. Do you?
Yeah, absolutely. I do, Alan. It's exercise. I run. I work out with weights, whether it's first thing in the morning, middle of the day, or towards the end of the day. And I find that when I do that, the ideas and the clarity flow almost instantaneously.
That's great. And it's very important. I remember I was talking to, I'm a big car guy, was talking to the president of Porsche. And I said to him, I said, look, you know, wow, you got a lot on your shoulders. I go, what do you do to clear your mind? He says, well, oddly enough, he said, my Zen place is in the cockpit of my airplane. He goes, sometimes I just go and fly because it takes my mind completely off of everything that I'm dealing with because you have to stay laser focused when you're flying an aircraft. And so the kind of the paradigm shift to just take your mind away from the worries of the day seems to be very helpful for many people, whether it's you, it's exercise. I own a gym. I bought a gym. I've only been there once. I got to get over there. I thought if I bought it, I would lose weight. All I did was lose money. Anyway, that's another story. Okay, so how about the coronavirus can teach leadership something in these defining moments? What do you think that is?
It's about being in control of one's emotions. It's about staying focused. It's about staying empathetic to what different people are going through. Not everyone is experiencing the pandemic in the same way. And it's incumbent on leaders to be really receptive to the different experiences that people are having and be available to people. It's really imperative to be communicating frequently, listening even more frequently, and just reaching out to people and help them achieve peace of mind as much as possible. We are all going to get through this as best as we can. We're going to learn things along the way, and a leader's job is to help people through this and then help them hit the ground running when this is done.
I love it. And by the way, it's interesting. I'm starting to get some little texts from friends that are just saying, hey, I'm just thinking about you. You're important in my life. And whether you do it kind of mechanically in the beginning, I would try to be thoughtful to not just send them to everybody, but take a few moments to send them to your most important people. Start with your loved ones and then work into the loved ones that you have in business. Because believe it or not, what I'm learning is how much I really love some of my clients. And I think that's the thing, is it really is in my heart. And that is how I feel that, you know, being an entrepreneur, I shoot from the heart, not from the hip. I shoot from the heart. And so it makes me feel better to let them know that they're in my heart and in my prayers while we're going through this tough time. Guess what? The first time I get to talk to them after this is all over, I know the first thing they're going to say to me is, hey, thanks for that sweet note. And I'm going to do the same thing to the people that have sent me these notes. I love that. Right now, we need to really cultivate our relationships and our gratitude for those relationships. One more segment with David Komlos. Find him online at syntegritygroup.com, syntegritygroup.com on the web. We'll be right back with more. Talk about yourself again, you. Talk about yourself always, you, you, you.
Listening to Entrepreneur Weekly. Now, here's your host, Alan Taylor.
And our guest today is David Komlos, author of Cracking Complexity. Syntegrity is his company, syntegritygroup.com, out of Toronto. You know, I really truly believe in my heart that the clarity that I'm getting is appreciation and gratitude for the folks that I'm doing business with, the organization that I have the privilege of working with, Entrepreneur Media. And I think that, you know, that in itself, that spirit of gratitude is, it can be felt by people. Don't you think, David?
Absolutely. It also goes to show that you're spending time reflecting personally what this means to you and what really matters to you.
I agree. And it's happening within my family as well, because I find myself reaching out, just letting my, you know, my kids and extended family and friends know that I care about them, thinking about them. And there's an energy in the air. It's like electricity. So the question is, how do we then, and I'm doing that with my employees too, but how do we get these employees and our people engaged and aligned with us in that way during this coronavirus outbreak stuff?
Well, if you set the agenda of priorities together as a team, your team will be bought into the importance of those different priorities. I suggest you divide them into sub-teams that are iterating in conversation with one another over the next few weeks on those different agenda items, on how to advance them and be ready and prepared to hit the ground running with whether it's something operational or something to do with a new product. Mm. I also think you should encourage employees to take time to reflect and have a few buckets of reflection. What do I appreciate? What am I grateful for? This is an amazing time to go deep on that. They should also have a pandemic opportunity list. What are the things that I want to get done personally and professionally during this time? Because, Alan, we all know that, you know, the bucket called what are the problems that are going on in this pandemic? Those are obvious to everybody.
Right.
And I really do believe that we have to focus on the upside and not the downside. Of course, we have to take care of each other. Of course, we have to be very sensitive to what's going on in our lives and our friends' lives. But if we can do what we can to view this as an opportunity, we'll be better for it.
I agree with everything you just said. Now, I am uncomfortable doing video meetings. I don't know why. I am comfortable in almost every environment. But sitting in front of these video meetings, I just feel antsy. Is there a great way to run a video meeting, in your opinion?
There are many different ways to run effective video meetings, and a lot of people feel the same way you do. Just because we're in video meetings, those meetings are going to be no different than in-person meetings in terms of the dysfunctions of those meetings.
Right.
The loudest voices are dominating.
Yep.
And there's no rhyme or reason. I would designate a few people. If you're in a 6-person meeting or a 12-person meeting or however many people, designate half of the people as listeners and critics and let the others do the talking for the first 20 minutes and then invite some feedback from the people who've been listening quietly. Try those kinds of things to make your meetings more effective and more productive.
I love it. I love it. I love it. I actually, there are people that I feel like need to not say anything because, for example, I had a meeting the other day and our HR person who knows everything about everyone, she's also in the financial part of the company. I said, let me let you be quiet here for a while because you know everything about everybody, their weaknesses, their strengths and everything. But everybody else doesn't have that advantage. So she was a little taken back by it. And I was like, that's all right. Let's just let's have you just kind of try and stay quiet here. Let's go through and have everybody give, you know, their couple of minutes of what's going on. And then it was a little uncomfortable, but I didn't even know why I was saying that. I just felt like that maybe she had a particular unfair advantage from her standpoint, when everybody, I want everybody to be able to say what's on their mind. And for me, as the leader, I needed to also learn how to shut up. But anyway, go ahead.
Oh, it's a wise move. I've had people come up to me and say, you know, when we're using these very same techniques that you and I are talking about, where some people are staying quiet and listening like your HR person, I've had people walk up to me and say, you know how I know that's working? Because I just said the same idea I've been saying for the last 2 years. And someone who's been in the same meeting with me over the last 2 years just walked up to me and said, that's a great idea. It's the first time they actually listened to me.
Well, here's another thing. I had to do a board meeting. I'm a chairman of a board of a religious organization, actually. So it's intensified by the fact that it's a nonprofit. And I did my meeting, of course, Zoom meeting. And everybody's looking right at me. It's not like I can kind of look around and, you know, hide anywhere. So I did such incredible, intense preparation that I sent them several pages. And then I walked through the pages and I just talked it out. And then I kept asking, all right, any questions on that? Nope. All right, we're good. Move on to the next one. And it made my job so much easier. And believe it or not, I went for an hour and 45 minutes. Lots going on right now. And but afterwards, everybody was like, that was great. And how often have you been in an hour and 45 minute meeting and walk away thinking that was great? I was giving them a rosy outlook of life because everything is going well with this particular organization, but it was being prepared, David. That was the key to the meeting, was being prepared and having a good attitude.
Yeah, totally. And I think we're just getting into this now. This is the dawn of a new age. You know, yeah. I heard a joke the other day, an old goldfish swims by two younger goldfish and says, how's the water, boys? And then a couple minutes later, one goldfish turns to the other and says, what's water? I think that for the new generation, for the up and coming generation, this is just going to be the way things are done going forward.
No, you're right. You're right. David Komlos, author of Cracking Complexity, his book, his website is SyntegrityGroup.com. Great advice, David. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Alan.
Be safe out there. We'll be right back. It's Entrepreneur Weekly.
You're listening to Entrepreneur Weekly. Now, here's your host, Alan Taylor.
Well, with all the propaganda and the crazy media stuff going on, we don't know who to believe anymore. What the living hell? We've got this Corona Wuhan Chinese virus thing going on. We're all sequestered and quarantined. We're going out of our minds. Telling. As you can tell, I am. Today is a day of people I've interviewed before because I look back and I go, who can I talk to that I loved? I loved Patch Baker, Marine veteran, Marine Corps. He was a gunnery sergeant, an intel guy, Mobius Media Solutions. And he says, don't go there. I'm not looking for any customers. I love that. He says, I can't take it. I got too many customers. But you can find out more about him at patchbaker.com. I don't know what the patch part is. I don't know where it came from. I should probably ask him. Where'd that nickname come from, Patch?
That's my name, bro.
That's what your actual name is?
That's my name.
Oh, jeez. Okay, Larry. Anyway, that's awesome. I didn't know that. I've never asked you that. It seems that I remember you have a bullet hole in your body somewhere, don't you?
I do.
Wow.
I do. I earned it, though.
Well, you know what? That suffering makes you really have a greater, deeper understanding of human nature and life because while you're sitting there in the hospital or in the what do they say? There are no atheists in the foxhole, right?
Well, it's 100% true.
Talking to God, going, Lord, what am I going to do? You know, we're just passing through Holy Week, and this weekend, of course, Passover and Easter. So it's an interesting week of reflection. And so I wanted to kind of look back and bring some of the folks I've had on the show before. And here's what he says. Let me just I always say, give me a bio so I have something. No bio. Nothing about him being a veteran Marine Corps intel guy, gunnery sergeant. None of that. He just says this. Ready? We are a no bullshit team of experts who have been building businesses online and offline for decades. I know they're going to have to beep that, but it was worth it. That's what you put online here. That's what you gave me to go off of. So it says, if it can be sold online, Mobius can help websites, ad buying, Facebook and Google ads, customer journey, remarketing, you name it, Mobius can do it. Can you tell the world about how you got into all this? I mean, is it come part of it from your kind of Marine Corps days?
It does. You know, I've been really blessed throughout my life to be part of teams that really had a mission that couldn't fail. And I kind of look back on that. I was laughing about it with somebody else the other day, because when I was really, really in shape and running and gunning and doing all that kind of stuff, I didn't realize that the slowest guy on our team, we would yell at him all the time because he was the slowest guy. But that dude was still running a sub 17 minute 3 mile.
Right.
And I didn't realize, like, I was surrounded by really smart people who were just physical specimens that the normal world doesn't really, you know, compare to. And he was still the slowest guy. I was running a 15:40 3 mile, and I wasn't the fastest guy. And because I was on teams like that, and, you know, that's a really simple explanation, but because I was on teams like that, I just started realizing that the sum of the whole was greater than the sum of the parts. And when I started figuring that out, I was like, man, I want to get into something where I can really build these cool teams and do what most people think is impossible and do it on the daily and just kind of continue that. And we've done it in the business world, just like I used to do in the military. As a matter of fact, all of my companies are built around the team mentality that I learned in the military.
You know,
I really don't know any other way to do it.
Honestly, I have I call him a friend. I don't know if it's fair to call him a friend. I love him like a friend, and he's very close to our president of the United States right now, part of Secret Service. And when he was in, I think he was in the Marine Corps too, but when he was in, he had two little girls at home. And he talked about one time when the whole platoon had to run as a punishment for something that everybody else did. And he didn't want to be that slowest guy, right? And they had to run through this whole obstacle course and jump over something. And you know how it is. I don't know because I haven't been in. I love guys like you and him and anybody that's ever served in our military. God bless you guys, all of you. But he jumped over something and landed on his ankle wrong and hurt his ankle, okay? He hurt his ankle, but the first thing that came into his mind is his platoon, his brothers, his children. When I say his brothers, I'm talking about the other men in the platoon and the other people. His wife, his family, and he just kept on running. And he was running in it with a limp, and he said it hurt so bad it got to the point where it just didn't matter. And when he came in, he was not the last, but he was close to the last. And his platoon leader looked at him and said, you know, so-and-so, I didn't want to say his name, but what is your problem? And he was yelling at him. And he says, sir, I've hurt my ankle, sir. And at that point, the sergeant or whoever it was looked down at his boot and literally blood was coming out of it. And he had broken his ankle. And the bone was actually partially kind of sticking out and tearing his skin. And the boot was the only thing that held it all together. But he kept on running. Now, unfortunately, that took him out of the game for a little while because he broke his ankle so bad. But that is the spirit you were just talking about.
It is.
You just
it
don't is. Know anything you know, but win.
I have run so many miles that I never would have done on my own and climbed so many walls and jumped out of perfectly good airplanes and swam a lot of laps and – you know, I've done all that because I didn't want to let the rest of my team down. And the same holds true in business. You know, I'm going to make this analogy, and people get all squeamish when I say this, but I did this article on Entrepreneur saying that building a business is just as hard as combat. And when you're in the focus of combat, you can't be in the focus of what's going on at home. You have to be like right there in the moment, paying attention to everything that's going on around you. And I feel like in those moments, you really have to have a lot of courage, because there's fear and there's emotions and there's, you know, the chaos of war. Well, you have that also in business. And if people would, you know, that's a life and death situation. If people would kind of correlate that to business and understand that on one end you have, you know, people's lives on the line, and on the other end you have the livelihood of your business on the line.
All right, hold tight. Hold tight. This is the perfect song right here. This is the attitude you have to have every day in business. Because if it's not your life that it's at stake, it's your family's livelihood and ability to live free in the home of the free in the land of the brave. Or I probably got that backwards. Land of the free in the home of the brave. But you know what I'm talking about. You've got to be a champion. Don't go anywhere. Patch Baker will be right back with me. This is Entrepreneur Weekend. This is Entrepreneur Weekly. I know I botched it up. Land of the free and home of the brave. How can I have gotten that wrong? You know why? I'm having to play the music. I'm having to make sure I don't, you know, step on a commercial, because it is a live radio show all across America. And I got to make sure I say the guy's name, Patch Baker. Retired veteran, Marine Corps, gunnery sergeant, intel guy. I love him. We're talking about how serious it is. Life and death, some of this stuff with business. I mean, yes, people commit suicide when they screw up in their business lives as well. God bless our military folks. Some of them have unfortunately made the wrong choices. There's a lot of trauma that goes into being in the military and, yes, being in business. It's very, very similar. I apologize for cutting you off, Patch. I had a commercial break going to run me over there. I was freaking out a little bit. My brain kind of scrambles, but we do live in the land of the free and home of the brave, and you are one of them. I salute you for your service to our country. And now in business, you're helping people, and you have, I'm sure, an elite team. So let me just have you finish your thought about, you know, being in the trenches like that. And I hate that I cut you off, if you can kind of pick it up from where you were.
That's all right. I mean, you know, in combat, you can't quit. But in business, people have gotten in the habit of quitting. You know, there's a lot of people that they get bored or they get tired or, you know, they get stressed out, and they don't actually put enough dedication, devotion into it like they would if they were in combat. And I know that's a hard correlation for people that haven't been there. But if you do have that, if you can put yourself in that mind space of, hey, if this was a thing that I couldn't quit, would I give it more effort? Would I pivot faster? Would I hire people like high-end consultants to come in and help me get my business to the next level? Right. Would I invest in those kinds of things? If they would do that, holy crap, the statistics would change on how many businesses fail.
You know what this reminds me of the story of the general back in, you know, I don't know what year it was, what century it was. It was a long, long time ago, because they went to battle and they landed the boats. And the man in charge, the general, I'm sure, said, burn the boats. And they're like, burn the boats? Well, yeah. What happens if we have to escape? He goes, we're either going to win or we're going to die here. Burn the boats. And that's, you know, that's the thing is, my brother said, by the way, he said, we were having this conversation the other day and it hit me as clear as a bell. He said, you know, some people, you know, are willing to die for what they believe. And of course, that is what we do in the military. What you folks do in the military, protecting our country. But it hit me, honestly, right in my chest. Something said to me, yes, you must be willing to die for what you believe, but are you willing to live for what you believe? And the reality is that's more important, that you must live it every day and live
at the fullest, like we're discussing right here. And this way you can make a difference in this world. And that's really a kind of a paradigm shift of thinking, to live it 100% to its fullest. What do you think?
Yeah, I would say it's different for me. So part of me living is I like to build impactful businesses, things that have something beyond just money. Because when you can focus your business around something that helps other people and you're fully passionate about that, you have a different responsibility other than just making money. You have a responsibility to follow through on the promises that you've made and the things that you are passionate about. For me, it's veterans. So I do a lot of things. I build a lot of companies that give back to veteran organizations, and I've made promises to those people. I'm going to do X, Y, and Z. And then I'm responsible for those things too. And when that becomes the door opener, when that becomes the thing that you're talking about, when those are the things that motivate you, it's not money, man, doors will open for you that you never even knew existed. Like, you know, you've opened doors for me. You've had conversations with me that I just wouldn't have had if we weren't on the topic of veterans.
You know what? I got to tell you, what you just did was you accidentally showed people what kind of a noble man you are, because I was talking about kind of the same thing. In other words, I don't even know in my life at this point, I don't even know life without purpose, without a purpose behind it or a noble cause like you're talking about. You're talking about exactly, we're talking the same language, but you actually, you thought, you know, if it's just business, eh, not that big of a deal. But if there's a noble cause behind it, I'm willing to put my all into it. I love that about you. Absolutely love that about you. Don't go anywhere. We're going to take another break. We're going to come back and wrap things up. Look, these are trying times. This quarantine, this crazy world that we're going through right now, where we don't know what the other side of this is going to be. But, boy, on Good Friday, man, I was doing some heavy, heavy introspection, really thinking about my life, what my purpose is, and we all need to do that. PatchBaker.com. You can find out more about him. Also, check out Entrepreneur.com. I've had him on before, and I'm going to have him on again. This is Entrepreneur Weekly. Whether you have a great idea you want to launch or a business you're running that you want to grow, Woman Entrepreneur's powerful Build Like a Woman curriculum of online courses gives you all the tools you need to take your business to the next level. From digital self-paced courses, virtual coaching sessions, and webinars with experts, we power the entire journey, arming women entrepreneurs and leaders with what they need to start, grow, and flourish. Get started today. It's free to start. Enroll now at entrepreneur.com/courses. Again, that's entrepreneur.com/courses.
You're listening to Entrepreneur Weekly. Now, here's your host, Alan Taylor.
Patch Baker joining us today. Veteran, Marine Corps veteran, gunnery sergeant, intel guy. We're going to talk about crisis management now. His company is Mobius Media Solutions. Not looking for any customers, but I said, Patch, come help me. Crisis management. You're the intel guy. What do you do? What do you tell people? How do you manage crisis? A lot of people are in the middle of a crisis right now. Their companies are, some of them shut down. So, you know, they don't know what's going to happen next. There's a lot of agita, you know, angst, anxiety. How do we deal with this crisis management in just a couple of minutes? Give me like 3 points.
Yeah. So I'll give you a fun fact. So the word crisis, the way we spell it, C-R-I-S-I-S, is actually from the Greek word K-R-I-S-I-S, which literally means turning point in a disease.
Mm.
So when you're talking about crisis management right now with the coronavirus and all this, you know, hysteria going on with that, the easiest thing to do is look where you can be valuable to other people right now.
Right.
So there are other companies that are hiring like crazy right now. Amazon's hiring like crazy. The telecom community is hiring like crazy. There are people that need help right now because of all the people that are at home, because of all the packages that are being ordered, right, because of all the online sales that are happening. So if you're looking for work to work at another job, there's plenty out there. If you are a entrepreneur and you are, you know, needing to pivot right now, Facebook is blowing up right now. Facebook, Google, LinkedIn, all those are just, they have more daily visits and views and video views than ever in history. I read a thing the other day that said that Zoom got like 64 million new customers in a single month. Disney Plus is like 50 million. And I was looking at all the numbers of the companies that are growing online. And what was crazy to me is that all the video playing apparatuses are, you know, through the roof with, you know, Netflix and Hulu and all those. And I'm thinking to myself, why aren't these people going on, you know, to learn something? Go on Facebook. There's Zooms, educational Zooms going on nonstop, and Facebook Lives going on nonstop, webinars going on nonstop of teaching people how to do things right now. So get off of those video platforms, watching movies and binging TV series, and go learn something new. You can literally spin up a webinar right now and teach people things, or go on and learn something new. This does not have to be a time where we shrivel up and sit in the corner. This can be a time that we can expand. All of my companies are doing really well right now. We're selling things online really well. We're selling courses right now. We're doing lots and lots and lots of things to expand our business right now. And you don't have to buy into the, you know, I turned the news completely off. I don't even watch it right now because I'm focused on how can I help more people? How can I reach more people? How can I monetize more things? How can I give people the solution that they're looking for? And that happens to be my product or my service. And if you keep, you know, sticking to that positive idea and mentality that if you help more people, the dollars then follow, then you really can't go wrong in today's economy.
I agree. You know, it's funny. My mother-in-law, God rest her soul, she's gone now. One of the things she said to me a number of years ago was, I think I was complaining about something, and she says, listen to me. She says, men sit for long time with mouth wide open waiting for roast duck to fly in. And I looked at her and I go, what is that? And she says, I don't know. It's some Asian saying, but it makes perfect sense to me. Get off your butt and go do something. Make yourself valuable. I don't know whether I was having a bad day. I was complaining about something. But man, I'll tell you what, you know, sometimes your family are the ones that really tell you the truth. They tell you what you need to hear in that moment. Yeah. You know what I mean? So, and we're all stuck with our families right now, you know?
Yeah. And not only that, but you think about it. Let's say you have, just for the sake of round numbers, let's say you have $1,000 in the bank and you're not spending it right now. You're not doing anything. Eventually that money's going to dwindle down.
Oh yeah.
There's nothing you can do about it. But yep, if you actually use that money right now to get the next thing, the next thing, the next thing that is going to help you move forward in your career or opportunities or life, this is a really good time to be learning something new and expanding on what you already have.
I agree. PatchBaker.com. I salute you for your service, sir. Thank you so much.
Thank you, brother. Thank
I'm
you.
Alan Taylor. My pleasure. We'll see you next time. Listen, stay safe. Don't sit there on the couch with your mouth waiting for a mouth open, waiting for a fried chicken to fly. It ain't gonna happen. See you next week.
This program is copyrighted by Entrepreneur Media Incorporated.